no sense.
This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com.
And its 96,000 dealers bring you Mr. Richard Widmark in tonight's presentation of Suspense. Tonight, Autolite presents a dramatization of Walter Van Tilburg Clark's Study in Panic, The Track of the Cat, starring Mr. Richard Widmark.
Cox?
Well, gas me up if it isn't Sam, my Autolite spark plug man. How's it going, Sam?
Great. You mean my exclusive Autolite plug check indicator?
Ah, that super sleuth is really doing a job, eh, Sam?
You bet. It quickly and accurately shows my customers if their car's spark plugs need cleaning, or if they're worn out or wrong for their style of driving.
And if they need cleaning, Sam?
Why, then I do the job fast and fine with my modern equipment.
And if those spark plugs are worn out or wrong?
Oh, you know the answer, Mr. Wilcox.
I sure do, Sam. You install ignition-engineered Autolite spark plugs for smoother performance, quick starts, and gas savings. So, friends, take a tip from me and visit your nearest Autolite spark plug dealer. You can learn his location by calling Western Union by number and asking for Operator 25. She will quickly tell you the location of your nearest Autolite spark plug dealer. And remember, from bumper to tail light, you're always right with Autolite.
And now, with The Track of the Cat and the performance of Mr. Richard Widmark, Autolite hopes once again to keep you in suspense.
Gotta get this fire going. I got it. It's my last chance. I'll freeze to death out here tonight if I don't. That or be cat meat. Snow. Nothing but snow. And that black murdering devil waiting out there in the dark for me. That big black cat waiting for his chance. Ah, there she goes. That'll hold Mr. Cat for a while. Cats are afraid of fire. Even big black ones. Even a big black panther big as a horse won't fool around a fire, no, sir. Oh, what am I talking about? Where are you going to find a black panther on a range in Nevada? Mountain lion, that's all he is. Big, maybe, but just a plain mountain cat, and that's all. Nothing but superstition, all that other talk. Crazy Indian superstition. Yeah, fire sure makes a man feel good. Good, kind of drowsy. No sleep, though. Mustn't go to sleep. That's all that cat's waiting for out there in the trees. Me to go to sleep and the fire go out. Gotta keep awake. Gotta do something to keep awake. Think about tracking the cat. How I got started. 2 days, two nights. Almost 3 nights ago. 5 o'clock in the morning. Asleep in the bunkhouse with the storm beginning outside, but me not hearing it. Not hearing anything, because I was asleep. So sound asleep.
Kurt. Kurt. Wake up. Wake up, Kurt.
Arthur, what's the matter? What's the matter with you?
Cows are balling up in the canyon. Something's out.
Oh, for Pete's sake. You have to wake me up every time you have one of your crazy dreams. Go back to bed.
It's no dream, Kurt.
Oh, you too, Hal, huh?
You only hear it when the wind's right. Listen.
Well, how long's that been going on? Why didn't you let me know sooner?
We've just been awake a few minutes. We wanted to be sure.
A few minutes? And that going on all the time? Fine couple of brothers I got to help me run a ranch. One good for nothing but dreaming, and the other good for nothing but thinking about that gal of his.
Let's leave her out of it, huh?
How can I leave her out of it? You practically moved her into the house, didn't you?
Quit ragging the kid, Kurt. She's just here for a visit. You know that.
Yeah. Well, get your clothes on. What are you standing there for? You think that cat's going to wait for us?
You figure it is a cat?
What else could it be, running cattle like that? Or maybe you think it's that Black Panther Joe Sam talks about, huh? I swear, Arthur, sometimes I think you're as crazy as that crazy old Indian.
Could be. Could be that me and Joe Sam are just the ones that ain't crazy.
Indian lover and cat lover. But don't think you ain't going to go out there with me because you are.
Any way you want it, Kurt.
I'll go with you, Kurt.
Oh, no. No, you got to stick around and take care of that gal. Yeah, listen to that. We woke the old lady up. She's come down to the kitchen. Suppose now she's going to give me some kind of argument.
Why you always got to pick on everybody, Kurt? First Gwen, now Molly.
What's the matter, Hal? You worried about me and that gal Gwen of yours? Huh? Come on, let's go. Up kind of early, ain't you, Ma?
Hi, Ma.
Hi, Ma. I figured you'd be wanting breakfast.
Just coffee. Some cat's running the cattle up in the canyon.
I heard. You going up there?
Well, you don't think I'm going to sit around here on my hands while some thieving mountain cat kills off our best steers, do you?
Well, sit down, all of you. Here's your coffee.
Thank you, Ma.
Thanks, Ma.
Kurt.
What?
I don't want for you to go. I suppose what I got to say don't carry much weight around here, but I don't want for you to go.
Well, I'm going. And so's your dreamer boy, Arthur.
It's starting a blizzard out, Kurt, and a bad one.
I've been out in a little snow before, ain't I?
Well, it ain't the same. It's the first snow of the year.
Nah, I thought so. You've been talking to that crazy old Indian, too, haven't you?
Well, I ain't either. Can't nobody hardly talk to him today, the shape he's in.
All spooked up again, huh? Black Panthers, first snow. And you believe in it.
Where is he, Ma?
Oh, I told him to fetch some wood, to get him inside. Wonder he ain't froze to death out there half the night and nothing but his shirt and jeans and them little thin moccasins.
Yeah, maybe I better go get him.
Will you sit down and drink your coffee? We gotta be leaving here in a... Well, if it ain't our little lady visitor.
Good morning.
Hello, honey.
Morning, Gwen.
Come sit down. Have some hot coffee, child.
Thank you.
No need for you to got up this early, you
maybe
know.
Maybe she got up special just to see us off.
See, who off? Where?
Oh, mountain cats after the cattle. Kurt's bound they're going up there to get him.
Oh, Hal, in this storm?
Don't worry about your precious Hal. I'm leaving him here to take care of you.
I said I'd go, didn't
besides,
I?
Besides, if it is that spook panther of Joe Sam's, I'll need Arthur here to make big medicine. He's almost as good at that Indian medicine as Joe Sam himself, ain't you, Art, huh?
Never will learn not to ride a good thing too hard, will you, Kurt?
I guess I'm a little confused. Spook panthers, Indian medicine?
It's nothing, honey. It's just Kurt's little joke.
Yeah.
Here's Joe Sam.
Close the door after him, Hal.
Sure, Ma.
That's right. Now go on, just dump it in the wood box, Joe Sam. That's right. Now drink this hot coffee. For land's sakes, you're shaking like a leaf. Joe Sam, here. Coffee.
Yeah, he don't want no coffee. He don't even hear you. He just wants to sit there and go off into one of them trances of his. Hey, Joe Sam. You seeing that spook panther now, Joe Sam?
Leave him alone, Kurt.
I do wish somebody would tell me what this is all about. Unless it's a family secret.
Well, there, you hear that, Joe Sam? Go ahead, tell the little lady about that big old black spook. Yeah, it looks like I'll have to do the honors myself. You see, it's this way, little lady. According to Joe Sam, there's a black panther roams this part of the country, comes with the first snow every year. And he's big, big as a horse, and eyes like coals of fire. And you can see right through him. And you can shoot right through him, too. And still, he'll keep coming until he gets you, because he can't never die. He's a spook.
Kind of frightening.
For old women and for dreamers, maybe. Now, come on, dreamer boy, let's go. Suppose you're going to wear that old cowhide parka, too. Makes you look even more like a medicine man.
Keeps me warm.
Oh, be careful. Please. And don't stay out there beyond nightfall.
Yeah, sure, sure.
We will, Ma.
Arthur.
Well, come to life, did he?
Arthur, no go.
It's all right, Joe Sam.
No, Arthur, not. Please, no go.
I got to, Joe Sam. We both do.
Will you come on and stop palavering with that old fool?
All right, Kurt, all right.
You go, Arthur?
Got to. But don't you worry.
Then you go. But you not come back. You not ever, ever come back.
Autolite is bringing you Mr. Richard Widmark in The Track of the Cat, tonight's production in radio's outstanding theater of thrills, Suspense.
Sam, my Autolite spark plug man, why do you recommend ignition-engineered Autolite spark plugs?
Why, that's easy, Mr. Wilcox. It's because...
Because they're designed by the same skilled Autolite engineers who design the coil, distributor, and all the other important parts of complete ignition systems used as original equipment on many leading makes of our finest cars, trucks, and tractors. Eh, Sam?
That's right. Those Autolite spark plugs are designed to work as a team with the complete ignition system. Take the new Autolite resistor spark plug, for instance.
Ah, it gives smoother performance, greater gas savings, and quicker starts. And it's only one of a complete line of ignition-engineered Autolite spark plugs designed for every use.
So, see your nearest Autolite spark plug dealer soon.
Right. Your Autolite spark plug dealer's exclusive plug check indicator will quickly show you if your spark plugs are right for your style of driving. And remember, from bumper to tail light, you're always right with Autolite.
And now, Autolite brings back to our Hollywood soundstage Mr. Richard Widmark in Elliot Lewis's production of The Track of the Cat. A tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
Even after we was saddled up and heading out across the range, I was still laughing to myself at what the old man had said to Arthur about not coming back, and how solemn he said it. I tried to get a look at Arthur to see how he was taking it, but you never could tell with that one. Well, we hit the draw that leads into the canyon about daylight. It's a real box canyon with a steep slope to the north and a sheer drop off the east face. We couldn't hear the cattle now, but we could see their tracks in the snow where they was heading up the canyon. And then I saw what I'd been looking for.
Hey, look! Look at that! You see them tracks?
Cat, all right. Big one.
Yeah. Pretty near as big as a horse at that. But you won't see through the cat that made them tracks. He's real enough. Well, come on, most likely he's still up there.
Ah, not what he does, them fool horses.
Look, up ahead.
What? It's a steer. He's dead and with his neck broke by the looks.
That's what ails the horses. They don't like the blood.
Yeah.
Look up there. You're right.
Two more. That's three of my best steers. Oh, he's been up here killing for fun.
Don't look like he's up here now, though. There goes the track up in North Slope.
Yeah, he's gone, all right, but he ain't been gone long. Track's as fresh and clear as print on a page. I'm going after him.
You'll need snowshoes. You'll need grub. I'll go back after it if you like.
I'll go myself if it's all the same. You'll stay here and hold the trail.
Either way.
No, not either way. That way. Unless you're worrying about what Joe Sam said.
I'm not worrying.
And don't go dreaming off, because I want you to be here when I get back.
I'll be here.
All right, then. Keep your eyes open.
Sure. And Kurt.
Yeah?
If I were you, I'd leave Hal's girl alone.
A smart one. A real smart one. Like he was reading my mind. He knew I wanted to get that gal off by herself. And with Ma taking care of her housework and Hal out doing the chores, he knew I'd have my chance. And that's just how it happened, too. Because a little while later, I was sitting in the kitchen at the ranch. Nobody there but old Joe Sam. Of course, he didn't matter. And little Gwen sitting right across the table from me.
But how did such a story ever get started? About the panther?
Joe Sam says he's seen it. Joe Sam says this old spook panther up and killed his wife and all his kids about 80 years ago.
80 years?
Sure. Joe Sam's well over 100, or so he claims. Ain't that right, you crazy old fool?
Kurt, you shouldn't talk to him like
that. Yeah, he don't hear it. He don't hear nothing when he gets like this. But don't you worry, little lady. I'm going to bring you back a panther skin all the same. May not be black, and may not be big as a horse. But it'll make a real nice present from your brother-in-law to the bride and the groom. Providing, of course, that it works out that way.
Providing what works out that way?
Providing I am your brother-in-law and Hal is the groom.
I don't like that kind of talk, Kurt.
Talk never did a gal no damage, did it? Huh? Time to go. How about a little kiss to keep me warm out there, huh?
Kurt. Kurt, no. Don't.
Ah, come on, honey.
Arthur.
What's the matter with him?
Arthur.
Shut up, you.
Arthur.
I told you to shut up.
You get an old man like that.
Ah, he's crazy. Somebody had to snap him out of it. Well, I'm off. Maybe I get that kiss when I bring you back your panther, huh?
I don't care if I never set eyes on you again the rest of my life.
Only it wasn't me she wasn't going to see again for the rest of her life. Because when I got back to the canyon, I found my brother Arthur laying in the snow. And three deep gashes in his back like the stabs of a knife. And his neck was broke. And all around him was the track of the cat. I lashed him across the saddle as gentle as I could, and I hit the horse in the rump to send him back home. Then I set out to track the cat. It was easy at first, with the bare paw snowshoes, the trail good and clear, and the weather lifting. Then in the late afternoon, I saw him. The other side of a ravine, dark and bulky like a shadow against the snow. I had him full in my sights. I fired and I missed. He was up the rocks in 10-foot leaps and over the ridge before I could shoot again. Then I remembered something. I checked Arthur's gun. It had an empty shell in it. He'd fired at something too and missed. Now we both hit. And then the storm come up again. And after a while, I couldn't see 50 yards ahead of me. And that was the first time I heard that other voice.
Kurt. Kurt.
Who's there? Who is it?
Nobody, Kurt. Just you.
Well, who are you?
I'm the caution in you, Kurt. Maybe you never knew you had it before. I'm the coward in you.
I ain't afraid. I ain't afraid of man or cat nor spook.
Maybe. But it's getting dark, Kurt. Nightfall's coming, Kurt.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so. So it is.
Better find a place to hole up for the night, Kurt. A good, safe place. While you can still see.
Well, yeah, maybe I had that. Maybe I had.
Because a man can't see in the dark, Kurt.
Who said he could?
But there's something out here that can. That can see in the dark real good. That hunts in the dark. The cat.
It was getting dark for sure. Almost the dark of night when I finally found what I was looking for. A little cave halfway up the other side of the ravine. I worked my way up to it when all at once I thought of something. The cat had holed up from the storm just the same as me. Suppose he'd holed up here. For a long time, I just stood there listening. But there was nothing but the wind and the whistle of the snow. And then, real slow, with my knees shaking a little, I crept up to it. My finger on the trigger of the gun. And I lit a match. The cave was empty. And it was dry. I crawled in. I ate some of the bread and jerky beef I'd brought along. Made a cigarette and smoked it. Then lay back. Let the tiredness go out of my bones. It was warm and cozy. I felt good. Real good. And warm. And drowsy.
Kurt. Hello, Kurt. You in there, Kurt?
Art. Art, where are you?
Right here, outside the cave. You can look right through the wall and see me if you try.
Yeah, but what's the matter with you? Your eyes and the snow all on your face.
I'm dead. Don't you remember, Kurt?
Yes.
And I've come to help you, Kurt.
Yeah, Art. Yeah, help me, help me.
Listen, you hear?
The cat. It's sniffing out there. It's right outside the wall.
Look. Look close and you can see him. Can you see him now?
Yeah, black. It's black and big as a horse. Eyes like coals of fire. But he can't get through the wall, Art. He don't know how to get through that wall.
That's why Joe Sam's here.
Joe Sam?
See him? See him out there on the slope? You see him laughing?
Art, he'll tell him. He'll tell the cat about the wall. Don't let him, Art. Don't let him.
Too late, Kurt.
Arthur, help me! Help me!
Too late now, Kurt. Too late.
Arthur! Arthur!
I was lying there in the cave, and it was dark. So it was a dream.
Sure, it was a dream.
But was it all a dream? I listened, and then I heard something that could be...
All right, suppose he was out there. I couldn't stay holed up there forever by a stinking mountain cat. I reached over for my rifle, and then I bent my knees up, and I kicked out with all my might, and the wall went flying out into the ravine, and I was crouching there with the rifle, and there was nothing. No cat. No tracks. Nothing.
Better head for home, boy. You've got daylight now. Head while the heading's good.
I can't do that! I swore I'd get that cat!
You've got a long way to go, Kurt.
I swore! For Art! And I promised Gwen. What'll I tell Gwen?
You'll have enough on your hands just getting back before it's dark again.
Well, I sure hate to give it up, though.
What's the matter with you? Don't you know yet?
Know what?
You're not hunting that cat anymore. That cat's hunting you.
I laced on the bear paws and I started down the ravine. It was still snowing, but I could see pretty good now. And I'd taken my directions the night before, down the ravine, up the other side, half a day north along the ridge, then down the other side, and keep going until you see the ranch. I was making pretty fair time. I figured it was just about midday when I seen the sun break through a hole in the clouds way off to my right. And then I stopped, because there was something wrong. Awful wrong.
What's it doing up there, Kurt? What's the sun doing up there?
I don't know. It can't be.
You're supposed to be going north.
Sure I am. Half a day north along the ridge, then down the other side, sure.
The sun's on your left when you travel north, Kurt.
Oh, and it's on my right. A whole half a day I've been going the wrong direction. A whole half a day.
You're going to be caught out after dark again, Kurt. You're going to be caught out after dark. That's all he's waiting for, Kurt. Waiting for the dark.
I can't. I can't get caught out. I gotta make it.
Never. You'll never make it.
What'll I do? What am I gonna do?
Run. Keep running.
I can't. I can't run much more.
Think of something. Think.
I can't think.
Think of fire. A fire.
Yeah, if I only had a fire.
That's it. A fire. That's it. That's it. A fire. That'll hold Mr. Black Cat. Afraid of fire, ain't you, you murdering devil? That'll hold you. A fire. A great big roaring fire.
It's all right now. It's gonna be all right. I got branches cut enough to last all night. Nothing to do now but take it easy and feed the fire. He's out there in the trees somewhere, but he won't come near this fire. No, sir, he won't. I'll just keep smoking. Keep yourself awake. Keep your eye on that fire. Just watch the fire. Just keep watching.
Too late, Kurt. Huh? Too late.
Arthur!
The fire's gone out.
Gone out? I gotta fix it quick.
Too late, Kurt. He's here. The cat.
The cat?
Crouching there to make you spring. You see him behind that tree, big as a horse and black as night and eyes like coal.
Help me, Arthur! Help me!
Son, shoot. Shoot while you still got the chance right between those burning eyes. Shoot.
I'll shoot.
Too late, Kurt. Shot right through him, but he's coming at you. Throw the gun away. It's no good now, Kurtz. Run, your only chance. Run faster. Faster, Kurt. Don't fall. He's right behind you, Kurt. Faster. Faster. Look out. You're falling. You're falling, Kurt. You're falling.
Brother Arthur the night before, and the next day we went to look for Kurt, Joe Sam and me. We found him where he'd fallen over the cliff of the canyon, all stiff and twisted in the snow. Later, we went up to see what happened. You could tell he'd been running when he fell, running away from something and afraid for his life. Only there was nothing there. No tracks except just his. Nothing.
Suspense. Presented by Autolite. Tonight's star, Mr. Richard Widmark.
This is Harlow Wilcox speaking for Autolite, world's largest independent manufacturer of automotive electrical equipment. Autolite is proud to serve the greatest names in the industry. That's why, during the early months of 1952, the Autolite family joins in saluting the leading car manufacturers who install Autolite products as original equipment. Our Autolite family is made up of the nearly 30,000 men and women in 28 great Autolite plants from coast to coast and in still other Autolite plants in many foreign countries. Our family also includes more than 18,000 people who have invested a portion of their savings in Autolite, as well as 96,000 Autolite distributors and dealers in the United States and thousands more in Canada and throughout the world. Our Autolite family will salute the Studebaker Corporation on the next Autolite Suspense television program. If you live in a television area, check the day and time of Suspense on television so you'll be sure to see this program. And remember, be with us next week for another thrilling Autolite Suspense program on radio.
Next week on Suspense, our star will be Miss Linda Darnell in a story about a woman who knew her husband was trying to kill her and was powerless to stop it. A dramatic report we call A Killing in Las Vegas. In weeks to come, we shall also present Herbert Marshall and Frank Lovejoy, all on Suspense. Suspense is produced and directed by Elliot Lewis, with music composed by Lucian Morowick and conducted by Lud Bluskin. The Track of the Cat was adapted for Suspense by Sylvia Richards from the book by Walter Van Tilburg Clark. Featured in the cast were Harry Bartell, Lee Millar, Martha Wentworth, Sharon Douglas, and Parley Bear.
Tonight's appearance of Richard Widmark was made possible through the courtesy of 20th Century Fox Studios. Mr. Widmark may currently be seen in the Technicolor production, Red Skies of Montana.
And remember, next week on Suspense, Miss Linda Darnell in A Killing in Las Vegas.
This is the CBS Radio Network.
Mysterious Traveler.
This is the Mysterious Traveler, inviting you to join him on another journey into the realm of the strange and terrifying. I hope you will enjoy the trip, that it will thrill you a little and chill you a little. So settle back. Get a good grip on your nerves. I hope it's not making you nervous, being alone with me here in the dark. Darkness stirs strange terrors in some minds, particularly those of children. For children live in a world of their own, a world far removed from that of adults. Who among us knows the psychology of the child mind with its devious thoughts and actions? As in the tale of The Good Die Young. Years ago, when I was practicing medicine, I brought a child into the world, a girl who was named Sandra. In the years that followed, she grew into an extremely beautiful and clever child. But my story begins the day that Martha, the housekeeper, was finishing her duties for the last time.
Sandra, come in here. I want to see you. Sandra!
Were you calling me, Martha?
Yes. I told you to come right home after school. Where have you been?
Oh, I'm sorry, Martha. I didn't hear you tell me to come home right after school. I'm sorry. Truly, I am.
Save your acting for your father, young lady. It hasn't fooled me for a long time. Sandra, since your mother died, you're becoming more and more of a problem every day. Well, at least after tonight, I won't have to put up with your lies and your thousand and one little tricks.
What do you mean, Martha?
Your father won't be needing a housekeeper anymore. I'm leaving tonight.
But why?
Well, I'm not supposed to tell you. But you may as well know now as later. Your father is bringing home a new mother for you tonight.
A new mother?
Yes. He's just married again.
But I don't want a new mother. Daddy and I don't need anyone else. We're happy the way we are.
Sandra, stop screaming.
I won't have it, do you hear? I won't have it.
Your new mother's a very fine woman. I met her last night.
I hate her. I hate her. Daddy's mine and no one else's. She hasn't any right to him.
If you don't stop that screaming, I'll tell your father when he comes home tonight.
Oh, no, no, no. Don't do that. I'll be good. But I hate her and I always will. I'll never stop hating her.
That's a fine way to talk. Perhaps I ought to warn the poor woman about Sandra. Well, then it's none of my business. Besides, she'll find out about her soon enough.
Stephen, it's ridiculous you're carrying me across the threshold.
All right, darling. It's tradition in my family to carry the bride over the threshold. There you are.
Oh, Stephen, what a lovely house.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you haven't seen the best part of it yet. Sandra.
Do you think she'll like me, Stephen? I do so want her to.
Of course she will.
Perhaps you should have told her about us instead of breaking it to her so unexpectedly like
this.
Oh,
nonsense, Helen. I know my daughter. She's a wonderful child. And she'll fall madly in love with you at the first sight, just as her father did. Sandra, where are you? Daddy.
Daddy, you're home early. Oh, I'm so glad.
How are you, darling?
Oh, Daddy.
I have a surprise for you.
A surprise?
Mm-hmm. Sandra, this is Helen. Helen, I want you to meet my daughter, Sandra.
Hello, Sandra.
Hello.
Darling, the surprise I just mentioned is Helen. We were married this afternoon. That means that Helen is now your mother.
Oh, Daddy, that's wonderful. Now I'll have a mother just like all the other girls do. Oh, I'm so glad.
So am I, Sandra. And I'm sure we're all going to be very happy together.
Of course we are.
That night, after the family had said goodbye to Martha and seen her off, Sandra was sent to bed. She lay quietly in the darkness, thinking. Occasionally, she would speak softly to her doll, Barbara.
She hasn't any right being here, Barbara. Daddy and I were perfectly happy until she came along. Tonight, he didn't even notice me. Just kept looking at her. Well, she shan't have him. He's always been mine, and he always will be. There. That's enough of that. Now, let me see.
The second time this afternoon, I've asked you not to pound the keys that way. That's no way to play.
I'm sorry, Mother.
It's not only the piano, dear. There are many other little things. And you pay no attention when I speak to you about them.
I don't mean to do them, Mother. I just forget.
Well, please try to remember, dear. Now, I want you to play the piano as you did last night for Daddy. He was very pleased.
Yes, Mother.
I thought I asked you to stop pounding the piano like that.
But, Mother, I was just composing a new piece for Daddy.
Well, that wasn't music, Sandra, but just noise. That'll be enough for today.
Hello, beautiful.
How are you, darling?
Well, why wasn't Sandra at the door to meet me? She's all right, isn't she?
Oh, of course, dear. Stephen?
Hmm?
I was a bit angry with Sandra this afternoon.
Angry with Sandra? Why, what'd she do?
Well, several times this afternoon I had to speak to her about pounding the piano, being loud and discordant.
Huh. Well, that isn't like Sandra. You know how well she plays.
Yes, of course. That wasn't the way she played today.
Well, I'll go up and see her.
All right. Supper will be ready soon.
All right, Helen. Where's Sandra? What's this?
Oh, Daddy, Daddy.
What's wrong? You never cry.
I was only trying to compose a new piece for your birthday next month.
A new piece for my birthday?
Yes. I wanted to surprise you.
Oh, there, there, dear. You mustn't cry. I'm sure Mother understands you didn't mean to be bad. Now, here, let me wipe your tears.
Oh, Daddy, I love you so. I just wanted to compose something wonderful for you.
I understand, darling.
Oh, Daddy. You always understand.
Is supper ready, dear?
Mm-hmm. Where's Sandra?
She'll be down in a minute. Helen.
Yes, Stephen?
She really didn't mean to pound on the piano and get on your nerves. Just she was trying to compose a new piece for me.
Stephen, it wasn't music. It was just noise.
Well, you mustn't be harsh with her. You know what children are like and their enthusiasm. They forget what they're told.
But, Stephen, I don't know exactly what to say.
It's just a question of being patient with her, winning her love.
All right, Stephen. Perhaps I was a bit impatient with her. You know I want nothing more than for the three of us to be happy together.
I know that, darling. And the three of us will be happy together.
In the weeks that followed, Helen tried to overlook Sandra's slamming of doors, constant droppings of objects, and other nerve-wracking incidents. In time, she felt, Sandra would come to accept her love and guidance. It was just a matter of patience.
Sandra, is that you?
Yes, Mother.
Please sit down, dear. I want to talk to you.
All right, but do hurry. Daddy will be home soon.
Sandra, every day I've been giving you milk money for school. Why haven't you been buying milk with that money?
But I have been, Mother.
Now, please, Sandra, I won't punish you. I just want to know what you've been doing with that money.
I've been buying milk with it.
Please, Sandra. Mrs. Gordon, your teacher, told me you haven't bought milk for almost a month now.
But I have. She just doesn't
happen
to... Sandra,
I won't have you lying to me. Now, that's your father. We'll see what he has to say about this.
You don't understand. You just don't understand.
Stephen?
Hello, darling. Sandra, what are you crying about?
I'm sorry, Stephen, but Sandra's been misbehaving.
Hmm?
I think you'd better speak to her.
You just don't understand.
What's she done, Helen?
Mrs. Gordon, her teacher, told me today that for the past month, Sandra hasn't been buying milk with her milk money.
Is that true, Sandra?
What's worse, Stephen, when I asked Sandra about it, she lied and said that she had been buying milk at school.
Why, Sandra, it isn't like you to lie about things.
I didn't mean to lie about it. I just wanted to keep it a surprise.
What a surprise.
Your birthday present.
Oh?
I saved my milk money so that I could buy you a pipe. It's here in this box.
But Sandra, you know I'd have given you money to buy a birthday present for Daddy.
It isn't the same thing. I wanted to buy him a present with my own money.
Sorry, Sandra. Only you might have told me about it when I asked you.
And then it wouldn't have been a real surprise. I did want to surprise Daddy so.
But you have, darling. This is a beautiful pipe.
No. The surprise is spoiled. Your birthday isn't till tomorrow.
Well, this is much better, darling. It means I'll be able to smoke this pipe tonight. Oh, now, please stop crying. You go upstairs and wash your face and hands, huh?
All right, Daddy.
I'm sorry, Stephen, but I had no idea what she'd done with the money, and she did lie when I asked her about it.
Well, if you'd only have a little more faith in her, Helen. I know it's difficult to understand her at times, but that's because as a child she looks at things differently.
I'm sorry, Stephen, if you think I've failed with her.
Oh, but you haven't, Helen. I'm sure that in time she'll come to love you as much as she loves me.
I don't know, Stephen. I often wonder about that.
As the weeks went by, Helen found herself coming no closer to winning Sandra's confidence. It wasn't that Sandra was unfriendly, but there was an air of reserve about her, which vanished only in her father's presence. Helen felt Stephen watching her anxiously when Sandra was about and sought to reassure him. Her one thought was to preserve their happiness.
Hello, Helen.
Hello, dear.
Oh, what happened to that vase, dear?
Sandra broke it.
Huh? Well, accidents will happen.
Stephen, this is the fourth piece she's broken in 2 weeks. And each of them were pieces I've treasured, had for years.
Why, Helen, you sound as though Sandra deliberately broken those vases because they were yours.
Well, why is it that only my things are broken?
Oh, Helen, surely you don't believe she's deliberately breaking your things.
I don't know what to believe. The first few times I thought it was an accident, but now...
But Helen...
Oh, please, Stephen, let's not quarrel. Perhaps I'm wrong. I admit I haven't any proof. It's just all the little things adding up.
Helen, what are you talking about?
Oh, you wouldn't understand even if I told you.
Where's Sandra?
In her room, I suppose.
Well, I'll go up and see what she's doing, huh?
All right, Stephen.
Sandra, it's Daddy. Are you in your room? It's funny. She isn't here. Hello, what's this? A note addressed to me. Dear Daddy, I'm sorry about the broken vase. Tried my best to be a good girl, but everything I do seems wrong. I make Mother very unhappy, so I'm running away. I love you very much and always will. Your daughter, Sandra.
After searching vainly for an hour in the dark and cold, Stephen returned and notified the police. All through the long hours of the night, he and Helen sat up, not saying a word, each afraid to speak, for fear of what might be said. As the first rays of dawn showed, the doorbell rang. Stephen rushed to answer it.
Mr. Hammond?
Sandra.
Oh, Daddy, Daddy.
Shh, darling, darling, everything's all right now.
I'm the police patron from the 55th Street Station, Mr. Hamilton. One of the officers on the force just found her.
Thank you. Thank you very much for bringing her home.
Oh, that's all right, Mr. Hamilton. It's our job. Goodbye.
Goodbye. There, dear. Don't cry.
Oh, Daddy, it was so dark out there. And I thought I'd never see you again.
What a thing to say.
How do you feel, Sandra? Do you want me to take her, Stephen, and put her to bed?
No, well, I'll do it, Helen.
All right, Stephen. Just as you say. Is she all right, Stephen?
Uh-huh. She just fell asleep. I hope her being out all night won't have any after effects.
Stephen, you feel I'm to blame for her running away, don't you?
Of course not, Helen. It's just that... Well, you don't seem to understand her.
But, Stephen, I've tried so hard. Oh, it's no use. She doesn't want me here, never has.
Helen, how can you talk like that? Why, she was delighted the day I brought you here as my wife.
Yes, I thought she was in the beginning. But now I know she was just pretending.
Pretending?
Yes, Stephen. From the first moment she saw me, she resented me. She feels I've come between you, taken her place in your affection.
Oh, Helen, how can you say such
a thing? It's true, I tell you. She sees me as a rival for your love.
You're just imagining all this.
I'm not, I tell you. Oh, it's no use, Stephen. We can't go on this way.
What do you mean?
Don't you see? We aren't happy anymore. Instead of things improving, they get worse. Perhaps it would be best if we were to separate.
Helen, I won't hear of it. I love you, darling. I wouldn't want to live without you. Whatever misunderstandings we may have about Sandra, I'm sure we can straighten them out.
I don't know, Stephen.
If you love me, Helen, you won't give up so easily. Please, say you won't leave.
All right, Stephen. I won't leave. Perhaps we will be able to work this out. I hope so.
Sandra? Sandra? You awake, darling?
Yes, Daddy.
Sandra, Mother and I were very upset when you ran away last night. Mother seems to think you ran away because you couldn't get along with her. She felt so badly about it, she wanted to go away.
She did?
Yes. But I told her how much we both loved and needed her. So she's promised to stay.
Oh, I see.
Sandra, you will try to be a good girl and do as Mother wants, won't you? It would make Daddy very happy.
Oh, Daddy, I'd do anything to make you happy, anything.
That's a good girl, darling. Now, you get up and get dressed, huh? I'll wait for you downstairs.
All right, Daddy. He just doesn't understand. He should have let her go, but she's still here. And she's going to stay. I won't have it. I won't have it. I hate her. I hate her.
A week passed. A week in which Sandra's behavior pleased Helen no end. At last, it seemed they were going to be the happy family she had always dreamed they would be.
Helen!
Yes, dear?
Will you bring my coat with you when you come downstairs? Sandra and I are going for a walk.
All right, Stephen. I'll get it and be right down.
Daddy, can we walk down to the river?
Oh, we won't have enough time for that, Sandra.
Stephen?
Hmm?
I have your coat, but I can't find your scarf.
Oh, the scarf's down here, Helen. Just bring the coat.
Oh, all right. Stephen, I hope...
Helen!
Mother!
Helen! Helen, are you all right? Helen, speak to me.
Daddy, is she dead?
No, Sandra, don't talk like that. Quick, phone Dr. Smith at once.
I arrived at the Hamilton home to find Helen suffering from shock, but otherwise unhurt. I was somewhat disturbed, however, to find her very nervous and run down.
She'll be all right, won't she, Doctor?
Yes, of course. I'm going to leave you a prescription, Mrs. Hamilton. It's something that will help quiet your nerves. You're to take it twice a day. Ah, here's the prescription, Mr. Hamilton.
Thank you, Doctor. I'll have it filled at once.
Well, Sandra, how are you? You've been so quiet, I hardly knew you were here.
I'm fine, thank you.
You're growing up to be quite a young lady. Are you still troubled by nightmares?
Yes, she still has them once in a while.
No, it's just her nerves. If she continues to have them, you might give her some of the medicine I've prescribed for your wife. Well, I must be leaving. Goodbye, Mrs. Hamilton, and stay in bed a few days.
I will, Doctor. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Doctor. Well, darling, you gave us quite a scare.
Yes, I slipped on something on the top step.
Hmm. You must have slipped on a marble, dear. I found 7 or 8 of them on the top step.
Marble? Sandra, were they your marbles?
No, Mother. They belonged to Margie. She must have left them on the stairs when we were playing here.
Oh, I see.
It wasn't my fault. Truly it wasn't.
Of course it wasn't, Sandra. Mother knows you wouldn't leave marbles lying around where she could slip on them. Isn't that so, Ellen?
Yes, Stephen. I'm sure Sandra wouldn't want anything to happen to me. Sandra, will you come into Mother's room a moment, please?
Yes, Mother.
The medicine that Dr. Smith prescribed for me is in the bathroom. Will you get it for me, please?
All right, Mother.
You'll find it in the medicine chest. It's in a blue bottle.
Yes, I know what it looks like. Oh, here it is.
That's fine, Sandra. Just bring it to me.
Here you are, Mother.
Thank you, dear. Oh, Sandra, this isn't the medicine that Dr. Smith prescribed for me. Didn't you read the label? This bottle has poison in it.
Poison?
Why, yes. It's right here in red letters on the label.
Oh, I'm sorry, but this bottle is blue, too. It looks just like the one with your medicine.
Yes, it does at that. Now, I'll put this bottle of poison back and get me my medicine.
Yes, Mother.
I'll have to get rid of that poison. It's too dangerous to keep in the medicine chest.
Would have been awful if you took the poison, wouldn't it, Mother? Or you might have died. No, go away. I hate to. Oh, I hate to. He's mine. You shan't have him. He's mine. We don't want
darling,
to.
Wake up. You're having a nightmare.
Oh, Daddy. Daddy. Don't leave me. Don't leave me.
Well, of course I won't, Sandra.
Stephen, she's so frightened.
Yes, these nightmares leave her nervous for hours. Darling, there's nothing to cry about now.
Oh, Daddy, I was so frightened.
Stephen, come here, Mom, will you please?
All right, Ellen.
Oh, Daddy, don't leave me.
No, Sandra, I'm not going to leave you. I'm just going to see what Mother wants. What is it, Ellen?
Stephen. Hmm? Dr. Smith said if she had a nightmare, some of the medicine he prescribed for me would help her.
Well, Sandra doesn't like taking medicine.
But this medicine's very easy to take, and it'll have her asleep in no time.
If you think it's best.
Yes, I'm sure it is. Now, you go back to Sandra while I get the medicine and a glass.
All right, Ellen. Now, Sandra, you must stop your crying. Daddy's here.
Don't go away, Daddy. I want you to stay with me.
Of course I'll stay with you. What were you dreaming about, dear?
I don't know. It was all so mixed up. Oh, Daddy, will you always love me more than anybody else in the world?
Of course. Now, stop your crying.
All right, Stephen, I have it. Now, if you just have Sandra sit up.
Come on, darling. Sit up now. That's it.
What's Mother doing?
She's pouring you some medicine. It'll help you sleep, darling.
Medicine?
Yes. It's the same medicine Mother takes for her own nerves.
No! No, I don't want it!
Now, please, Sandra. It'll make you feel much better.
No, don't come near me. I don't want
it! Sandra, Mother takes it twice a day. There's nothing to it.
No, I won't take it. I won't!
Perhaps you'd better let it go, Helen.
Nonsense, Stephen. She'll have us up all night if she doesn't take it.
All right.
Now, Sandra, stop being a baby and take this medicine.
No, Daddy, don't let her make me take it. Don't let her!
Sandra, are you going to let me give you this quietly, or do I have to make you take it?
No, no, it'll kill me. I know it will.
Yeah, let me hold your head. That's it.
No.
Now, Sandra, stop clenching your teeth. Open your mouth. Do you hear?
Daddy, don't let her.
There, you've taken it. All this fuss over nothing.
Helen, she's talking.
Daddy, Daddy, it burns.
Sandra, what's wrong?
It's burning me, Daddy. Help me, I can't breathe.
Helen, quick. Call Dr. Smith. Tell him it's an emergency.
Stephen, here's Dr. Smith.
Let me see her. She's been unconscious for 10 minutes now. Doctor, you must do something.
I'm afraid it's too late, Mr. Hamilton. She's dead.
Oh, no. No, she can't be.
I'm sorry.
How can she be? We only gave her the medicine you prescribed for Helen.
Yes, here it is.
Let me see it. But this medicine wouldn't kill her. It's only a nerve tonic. You can see...
Doctor, what is it?
Why, this is the bottle, all right. But the medicine in it isn't the medicine I prescribed.
But it is. I took some of it last night.
I assure you, this isn't the medicine I prescribed.
Then what is in that bottle?
It smells like... carbolic acid.
Carbolic acid?
But that's impossible. Look at the label. You can see it's my medicine.
Yes, the label's right, but someone poured out the medicine I prescribed and replaced it with carbolic acid.
Oh, no.
But why? Why should anyone want to do such a thing? Who could possibly want to kill Sandra? Everyone loved her. Ask Helen. She'll tell you that Sandra...
Stephen, why are you looking at me like that? Surely you don't believe I poisoned her. Stephen. No. No.
This is the mysterious traveler again. Have you enjoyed our little trip? By the way, do you have a child in your home? If so, I do trust it isn't angry with you. You can't be too careful with children. Why, I recall another child who, after being punished by his parents, took a razor and... Oh, you're getting off at the next stop. I'm sorry. Perhaps you'll join me again soon. I take this same train every week. At the same time.
You've just heard Chapter 13 of The Mysterious Traveler, a series of dramas of the strange and unusual brought to you each week by station WOR. In tonight's program, The Good Die Young, Betty Jane Tyler played Sandra. The Mysterious Traveler, written by Bob Arthur and David Cogan, is directed by Jock McGregor. Original music was played by Doc Whipple.